We're going to look at Colossians chapter 3. So if you would, turn your Bibles to Colossians, look at chapter 3. I'd encourage you to study the whole chapter. We're not going to look at that tonight. But we are going to look at 4 or 5 verses. I'm not even sure we'll make 4 or 5 verses, but I'm going to read 4 or 5 or 6. Maybe 11, I'm not sure, but I'll just read until I quit. The Bible starts in Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on this earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil, desire, covetousness, and which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of God who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all in all. Isn't that good stuff? And, I talked about last Sunday's message. I got some looks as if some of those are my faults, but they're straight out of the Bible, so at least tonight. And these are pretty hard instructions coming from Paul through Jesus. Chapter 3 is all about Christian character. Amen. And what a Christian home ought to look at. That's the last part of chapter 3 that we're going to look at. You study it, the last part of chapter 3. It's about believers as we are identified in Christ. I want you to think about that. Christ has come into our lives. He's created something brand new, which is in his image. So as we walk out in the world, what are people to see? According to our scripture tonight, they're supposed to see Jesus. I read chapter 3. I read a man that said chapter 3 is one of the greatest chapters for a believer to study often as they seek a deeper and more committed life, as they seek to walk closer to the Lord. So I would encourage you to take chapter 3 of Colossians as well as everything else in the Bible, but chapter 3 and read it. Not just once a year or once every 6 months, but read it often. And be reminded of the things that we're to leave out of our life, and the things that we ought to be full of, which are the things of God. So let's start out in verse 1 and notice how it starts out. So let me read it. If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. And that's that little word, if. If you were raised with Christ. If you're a believer in Christ, then you are a new creation. Now shake your head if you heard me. This is scripture. This is not Jerry's thought. If you are raised in Christ, you are a new creation. You have been buried. That's what baptism symbolizes. You bury the old and you raise the new. You get rid of it. You work on getting rid of this, the junk in your life. And with that word if, that leaves the door open that a lot of people that come to church may not be saved, because you see the old more than you see the new. In fact, you see the old a whole lot more than you see the new. That Randy, not been in church 25 years, something is wrong with that picture. If I talked to him, I would think he was not saved if he told me that. So, if you were raised with Christ, the rest of that verse, then you seek those things which are above. Now think about that for a second. Think about all that we prayed about tonight. Think about the stuff going on in this country. That's of the world. Some of it probably is from Satan. God could have called some of it. But there's an awful lot of worry going on. And don't we get focused on the stuff right down here that we can't. And if churches would hear this and apply it, what do you think would happen to our churches? If we put aside, you know, every single one of us is guilty of worrying what we're going to do in school, what we're going to do with all this, and preacher included, we don't know. The unknown scares the stuffings out of us, and put it in a nice way. And what's the first one tell us? If you're raised in Christ, you focus on the things above and not the things on the earth. He's very specific about that. The things on earth will get you in trouble every single time. I'm not saying don't be concerned about the stuff here, but if you get down, what's the remedy for getting down? You look up and you ask God, and there's all sorts of scripture that will help you with your joy that you've lost. We'll renew your spirit. Will pick you up. So if you're saved, you focus on Jesus. I wrote down a few things that have to do with a life that is risen in Christ. Now, I know sometimes I don't preach that and sometimes we don't think about it. But when we're saved, the old is dead and the new has risen, just like Jesus rose from the dead. That's us. When we get saved, we're arisen with the Lord. So if we're saved, then you work toward a surrendered life to Christ.
How often do we get sidetracked?
Oh, I know. That's what this is about. We get sidetracked.
It's all written to us as Christians.
Exactly. So the deal is, when we get sidetracked, put our eyes on things above. The characteristics of that is to strive to have a surrendered life, because you have risen from the dead. You've risen just like Jesus did. You seek those things that Jesus is thinking about. Think about Christ in heaven right now. What's he thinking? He's thinking, look at those guys. I feel for those boys and all that. What he's thinking. He's taking our thoughts. And he's taking them to God, our Father. He's feeling our hurts, our depression, our things we're scared of. So we put our hearts and mind and thoughts on things above, because that's what Jesus is doing for us. You'll spend a lifetime, now listen to this, especially this guy with 25 years not being in church, you will spend a lifetime walking with Jesus if you're born again, if you belong to the Lord. Do you agree with that? You may get away a little bit, but if you've been raised with Jesus, you've got that inner self now that's going to cause you to come back. And maybe some of this junk going on right now is causing us as a church, our churches have gotten weak. We've quit standing on the Word. We're not preaching strong, and we're not teaching strong. And I have a feeling God's pretty fed up with some of the stuff we do. We worship music sometimes more than the Word. That's, you know, there's a place for both of them. We worship in music, but this is our life right here. I don't go home to the preacher to talk about music. I'm not. Music is a vital part of worship. But some churches have turned it into that worship music and not God. You experience through Christ the death, burial, and resurrection of yourself. How often do you think about that? I'm not sure we think about that at all. But you have died. You've been buried. And you've been resurrected with Christ. That's pretty spectacular. Keep on going. And things that, let me just share with you what happens to the old when it's replaced by the new. When it's replaced, the old replaced by the new, you are risen with Christ. So let me put this in a way that I hope it makes sense. If you truly invite Jesus into your life, then it becomes the Lord's responsibility to raise you up and to do something inside here. I don't know how he does it, but he just gives you that new heart, that new creation. And when he does that, then you're going to be convicted of stuff that you weren't before. So you are risen with Christ. So the old is dead, is buried. You are raised in a new life, a new lifestyle. Your old sinful life in this world, listen to this, is over. And I say that because it's dead, according to Scripture, it died. So how can the old stuff be alive in you? Can it be resurrected? It can't, not if it's really dead. So think about all that as we think about what Paul is teaching us. The sinful life has no claim on our hearts, on our lives.
Thank you, Peter, before you before. Things. I mean, we that can be taken away. In my own personal life, I've experienced things. Taken everything you had taken away. And the things we have in glory, nobody can take it away.
No thief can steal it. Bobby makes a good point. If we accumulate things and make idols out of them, and God takes them away, you've really gained. Because you'll be looking towards God instead of those things. Keep on going to verse 2. Set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. Why would he repeat that? He just told us that in verse 1. Must be pretty important, don't you think? Seek those things. Set your mind. This was a pretty important verse to me. What does it take to set your mind on things above? What's it require from you guys? Not just that, it takes more than that. You've got to determine in your heart to set your mind on that thing. If you don't, then you're in trouble. Remember Daniel 1 and 8, what's it say? What did Daniel do? He purposed in his heart not to defile his body with the king's food and drink. The king's food and drink, by the way, was sacrificed to idols back then. So it was blasphemy for Daniel to drink and eat what the king was feeding him. But he purposed in his heart not to do that. Now, verse 2, as we're setting our minds on things, when you set your mind, it requires purposing in your heart, a determination on our part to do that. It's easy to walk away and stay away for 25 years. A Christian will purpose in his heart, will set his mind on God instead of whatever comes ready to walk away for 25 years. Verse 3, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ. It's not just hidden with Christ. You are part of Christ, but people are to see that new life in you. You've been hidden in Christ. You've got his arms around you. You're in his shadow. You're taken care of the Lord by the Lord Jesus. But in response to that, people ought to see this new life in us. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. What did you say about that? What did he just say in that verse? When he comes back, we're going to appear with him. What are we going to look like? Who cares? You know, what's it going to be like? Can you explain it to me? You can't. I just want to be part of it. And if you're a believer, if you're part of Christ, then you're going to be part of it. Man, that's going to be a glorious time. Come back. Sad about that. This is Jerry speaking now, but what would be sad is those people we don't see. Those people that we think ought to be there and they're not. Those people that think they're going to be there and they're not. That's going to be awfully sad if we even know that they're not there. Let me close with a story I read today. What will it take to heal our world? I'm convinced we're facing one of three things: revival, ruin, or the return of Jesus. Pray God it will be either spiritual revival or return to the Lord Jesus. But if it's the spiritual revival, how will it come about? People have tried everything. there's only one answer for a world in need of our world is in. The will of the Lord is that the church of the living God be filled with the Spirit of the living God. And that alone is the answer. Who do you think? Well, you can guess and guess and guess. Adrian Rogers preached that. And I could just hear him out preaching it. And he believed it. Oswald Sanders said, there is no such thing as a once-for-all fullness. We may and should be filled with the Spirit again and again. In other words, read the Bible and get full again each day. Let it speak to you. Let it fill you with joy again. Yesterday's experience is no good for today. Being filled is a day-by-day experience. Ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit. That's what I'd like for us to pray for each other. Lord, give them a great Spirit-filled day. Well, unless you got something to add to it, maybe we'll close if you don't. All right, Father Almighty, we thank you for the Word. We thank you especially for the death of our old and the raising up of the new. You making us a new creation, Father. It's hard to explain, but we know it happens. We trust and have faith in you to believe. Father, I pray I can get to the rest of it. I pray that we leave the old alone and pick up the new stuff. Father, that we just go out in the world and act like Christians, that people would see that we're different. Be with us, Father, as we go home. I pray for safety. I pray for a good night's rest. I pray for provisions, Father, and health. I pray for health for each one. And Father, tomorrow I pray for a full measure of joy for all your people. I pray this in Jesus' name.